This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces for the final segment of each show. God willing. Syracuse with a 48-7 win over Western Michigan in the Dome. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you live in that aforementioned segment, hopefully. And that's pretty much the wrap. So it is going to be full steam ahead for the most part from here. A couple other non-conference opponents coming up in a short amount of time. And then it's all conference play from here on out. And not really sure what the ACC is looking like or what they got this year, to be honest with you. Some questionable things this weekend, I think, to say the least. I was a little bit surprised by Clemson's play again, and I was also surprised by Appalachian State almost pulling that thing out in overtime. And trust me, I was a huge App State fan last night. And, you know, I love the baby blue color. I actually love the baby blue color, but I cannot stand the Tar Heels. And I can't stand the Chargers, which makes it difficult. You know what I'm saying? So,
look, Clemson, I know they didn't look good in the beginning, but, I mean, by the end of the day, you know, they still got out of there with, what, 66-17?
Oh, yeah, they handled
win,
it.
So, I mean, they ended up taking care of it, you know. Yesterday was a very long, kind of drawn out day for a lot of teams as storms went up the East Coast and delayed games one by one, as you saw, like North Carolina games get delayed, then Virginia Tech was delayed for I don't even know, like
hours.
3-4 hours, something like that, right?
Yeah,
and got all the way up to the point where there was some West Virginia games. West Virginia and Marshall were they were delayed for a little while last night, so that took a little while for some of these games to get done. So I'll tell you what, though. Boston College does not look good.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about how bad they look. Boston College. It is so fun to see Boston College struggle. That's one of the teams. And Pitt, you know, Pitt played a good game. But, I mean, at the end of the day, not a
Pitt
game.
They came back.
I know, but
20-7 at half. They come back and lose 27-21. I mean, but, you know, Georgia Tech took care of business, obviously. Yeah, Boston College is definitely tough. Purdue, who our opponent is next week, they ended up handing Virginia Tech their first loss, 24-17, after the long delay.
That was a close one, too.
Wake Forest beat Vanderbilt, so we took another SEC team, along with Miami, taking care of Texas A&M, 48-33. So we're still looking pretty good against the SEC so far this year. Notre Dame kind of handled NC State, and sadly for your state, in-state Virginia, because, you know, I mean, they're 0-2, and it's not like I'm a huge Virginia fan, but they did have a home game yesterday, and they they did, you know, the service and the memorial, you know, they kind of celebrated the three guys last year, the tragedy of their three football players that got shot and killed last year. And so you kind of wanted them to get a win there. And yeah. James Madison came out early. Virginia came back and took the lead, and James Madison actually came back and won the game in miraculous fashion to kind of ruin that day for him. But, yeah, I mean, overall, it was still a great day of football. And, I mean, I think we're kind of right there asking the same question. I know my buddy Sabo hit me up. He said, I don't know if Syracuse is good or if Colgate and Western Michigan are that bad. And probably going to find out next week.
I mean, that's the question. And, I mean, you know, Purdue doesn't look like any slouch. The quarterback Card there. What is his name? Something Card. Anyways, he's a transfer from – crap. Is it Texas, I think? Anyways, he looks pretty sharp. I'll find all that out before the – I think he's a transfer from Texas. Anyway.
Right.
He looks sharp. He did. And he could be a problem. He's definitely a talented quarterback, and you know they like to pound the rock too. So
Hudson Card.
Yeah, I was gonna say Hunter Card, but I don't remember Hunter Card being a thing. So, anyways, yeah, that's you know that could be. It's gonna be a good test, going into week three. You know, and we're gonna get into it after the montage with some of the things that are piling up negatively for Syracuse, and we talked a little bit about having these early games easy, the pros and cons of it in the last show. And you know, one of the cons is, you know, maybe you're not as prepared as you could be going into week three against a Purdue if you kind of have some gimmies along the way there in the first 2 weeks. So good practice nonetheless.
It's great conversation back and forth, because you know you never really know, and people right. always have the answer in hindsight.
Right.
But
exactly.
I mean, at the end of the day, we've played Colgate and Western Michigan at home. Purdue has played; they lost, albeit they lost 39-35 at home first week against Fresno State, but they just went on the road to Virginia Tech, which we're going to have to do later on this year, and they won. So, they've played. It's a different competition than us, and we don't know what their injury situation is yet, and so we kind of delve into that. But yeah,
It's up in the air.
We'll see if it helps, right?
Yep. All right, with all of that said, let's take a listen and hear what Coach had to say following the win.
First of all, it's always good to be 2-0. We're excited about where we're at right now. We have a lot of stuff to go back and work on. Obviously, there's been some guys with some owies. David is probably in a situation where he will not be out there for a while. We're hoping to get him back soon, but it's going to be a little bit extended on that one. Most of the other guys we're going to have to turn around, and we're going to have to look and see how it goes between this 24-hour period before we get him in the training room, or really this 12-hour period before we get him back in the training room. I thought it was an extremely good effort. Played a lot of guys again. Four penalties in the first half. Nine overall, but once the second half, we were playing a lot of people. And one of the penalties was on one of our young men that was offsides because he was playing in a game and his mom was seeing him. His mom and his grandmother were seeing him for the very first time, who flew in from Japan. And I think he just wanted to get offside so he could be in the box score. But, you know, we'll take care of that on Monday. And we're excited about where we're at. And we're looking forward to where we're going to, which is Ross A. Stadium on the road next weekend. Questions?
Questions for Coach. We're going to start right in front of Emily, and then we'll go to Dan next.
Just want to clarify to start. Does Aronde Gadsden fall in that second group of you're hoping that you can turn him around and get him back in things for next week?
Absolutely.
Is the foot he ankled, or the foot slash ankle he injured, the same one that we saw him roll a little bit that last week of camp?
No.
No.
Coach, what do you see from just the wide receivers like Damian and Donovan, especially after Aronde went down?
You know, I don't think that their play had anything to do with OG going down. You know, those guys have a job to do, and they need to be consistent and not occasional. And when Damian's wearing a C, that represents something. I expect my Cs, there's six of them, to play outstanding. And he understands what the standards are. and all the other receivers understand where the, what the standards are. Playing wide receivers at Syracuse University for Michael Johnson, Mr. Beck, and myself is not an easy deal. Okay, there's six eyes on them all the time, and our standards are extremely high. So they understand, and they need to meet our standards.
Coach, all things considered, after 2 weeks, what's your assessment of your defense?
Starts with a G, ends with a D, has two O's in the middle.
How much would you account how good your defense is versus two teams that, let's say, have had some struggles on offense?
That evaluation comes as we move up, and we're moving up this coming week.
Just how impressed have you been with the offense, particularly Garrett Schrader as well, being able to extend plays and do his thing?
Schrader's balling out. By the way, he's extending plays and making some bad things look good. There's no doubt that he's playing at a high level. I don't know what the numbers or those ranking points are that Emily puts out on all the players. I don't know what all that stuff means. I know we grade them, and I don't know if our grades matter or the internet grades matter, but he's balling out, and he's doing a really good job extending plays and keeping plays alive. And as an offense, my biggest thing is making sure we don't turn the ball over.
What's your level of concern with the O-line depth at this point, and how did you think they played overall today?
You know, I think that obviously anytime you have the offensive line, everybody can't play offensive line. You can trade linebackers. Linebackers can drop down and play defense. Defensive linemen can pop up and play some zone for you. But O-linemen, there's just not a lot of big guys walking around that are 300 pounds that are trained like offensive linemen. So anytime you lose an offensive lineman, that's difficult, and you're hoping you don't lose anymore.
How did you think they did as a
whole? How many yards did we throw for? How many points did we score? How many did the defense score? Seven? Just seven? G at the front, D at the back with two O's in the middle.
And last question for Coach Michael.
Dino, just building off of that, Schrader had a good game, but he was still on the run a lot. Does that concern you at all, that maybe he wasn't able to stand in the pocket that long?
You know, sometimes Schrader, he goes on the run just so you guys can talk about it. I mean, some of those pockets were just fine. I'm like, Garrett, where are you going? But when Garrett wants to go, he goes. And he normally, wherever his destination is, he normally gets there. And he's normally standing up afterwards. So we'll put up with a little bit of that. But some of that stuff was just Garrett being Garrett. All righty?
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
All right. Look, before we delve into the montage too much, I just want to, the officiating, I thought most of it was necessary, although some of it was confusing, and especially in the beginning of the game, I don't recognize any of the guys. I don't know where they were from or anything like that, but you know, coach had to use challenges to make sure there was things corrected on the field that were up to officials to correct, which is, I mean, it's pathetic. I thought it was, although entertaining, I think it was pathetic. So, anyways,
I mean, look, it's a situation.
And let's just remind the folks what we're talking about. There was a pick on a pass that was was thrown. It was picked up because they said it was a pass and caught behind the line of scrimmage, and that was
obviously was,
and that was second down. So coach had to challenge that it was actually caught beyond the line of scrimmage. He won the challenge. They put the penalty back into play, brought him back 15 yards, right? Or whatever it was. What was it?
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. And then when they moved them back, they moved the downs back or never flipped the down. But anyway, it should have been repeat second down, and it went back to first down. And then they had a call.
I don't think they ever did it after.
They might not have.
That's the problem. Yeah. I don't think that they did it from the first play to the second play. So,
we would have
to go back and look, but that's probably where it was, right? So, yeah, that's just, I mean, the thing is, too, is, and kudos to the head ref, because I think he did a great job kind of getting everybody together and explaining, absolutely. But I think it was the other referees around him that were really the ones that kind of struggled through that portion of it. So, but yeah, there was definitely a lot of huddling up, making sure they were getting the calls correct. So at least there was that.
And I don't mind the huddling up for extended periods of time if we get an explanation after and things are corrected. But it seemed like I'd never seen a situation where college or pro where a coach had to throw a challenge flag on a play because a penalty flag was picked up in that kind of situation. I mean, I already ran through the scenario, but the whole thing was just so, I mean, it was an anomaly for sure, but a weird situation there. Anyway, we start 2-0, which is awesome, right? And, you know, we're talking, okay, it's only this team, but it's 2-0. It doesn't matter, right? We got four more wins to a bowl game, and it's just like that. Here we are going into week 3. And the last thing we needed in these two games was any type of injuries. And we've banged on this since before a ball was snapped or even kicked off in preseason. Unfortunately, looks like we have a couple of injuries. Wallball Jr., you heard Coach, don't usually get updates that quick, saying that this is going to be most likely going to be an extended injury, and that, you know, within 5 plays, we've got a 75-yard run by Western Michigan, and we've got Aronde Gadsden down on the ground, and he needs to be helped off the field, and he goes into the locker room, comes out with a boot. You know, Coach is hoping that he can be evaluated in the next couple, you know, 12 hours, he says, right? 12, 24 hours. So this week, right, to determine what's going to happen with him in the coming weeks. But, you know, we talked about Aronde, and, you know, I guess he got rolled up on at the end of training camp, and that was probably lingering, first of all, on the coming into the first game. And now we've got something going on with the other ankle or leg, and you know, being banged up this early in the season, it is a little concerning for me. But with that said, hoping he gets back next week or the following week. Wide receivers stepping up. First of all, what do you have to say? I mean, there's not much to say about the injuries.
I mean, it's obviously unfortunate, especially, I mean, Wallaba, you look at it like he just transferred over, and I mean to come over from after spring ball and get the starting right tackle job, I think it's just a testament to his talent. And to see him not put any weight on it, I mean, we're gonna see really, really quick, because obviously they do the MRIs and they figure it out. You know, it's either he's gonna be out for the year or it's just some type of sprain or hyperextension, in which that could be a 4-6 game situation, depending on how it all heals. So we'll find out about that one probably pretty soon. And as far as Gadsden, you know, I just hope that wasn't the lingering ankle. I don't know if it was, you know, one way or another. But I do know that I remember Aronde Gadsden, like, seeing him limp from the first catch he had from game 1 against Colgate. And he was a little gimpy after he scored that touchdown as well. So, he's obviously was dealing with something, and I'm assuming it's some type of high ankle sprain, in which sometimes those can be worse than fractures. So maybe it's not the same thing. Maybe he did get rolled up. Maybe it is a fracture. I mean, we're going to find out again with him pretty soon, but I don't think it's a situation where he's going to be out for the whole year. It just comes down to, you know, it could be another 4-6 week thing for him. I mean, you're looking at guys that are, they might not be out for the year, but they're going to be out for a substantial, I mean, it could possibly be half of the rest of the season. So just hope that they can come back at some point and help, really. And it's just going to be next man up.
Yeah, next man up. That brings us to this. Donovan Brown and Garrett Schrader post-game. I thought this was poignant from Donovan Brown and should give us all a little bit of, you know, should make us feel a little bit better about the wide receiver position and Aronde Gadsden and having his issues.
Dan, front.
Donovan, for you, the first career touchdown for you collegiately, just what that meant to you overall and just what you can say about kind of getting that off your back now.
this is kind of funny. So me and my teammates, actually, because last game, y'all know I didn't score, but, you know, had a decent game in my opinion. Everybody scored. And, you know, I was happy for everybody. And they was like, Dono, you got to get one. You got to get one. So, you know, it kind of flipped today. You feel me? So once it flipped today, everybody was, you know, when y'all seen on the sideline, I couldn't even sit down. I was getting beat up. So you feel me? So everybody was happy for me. I was happy. Shit, I was even more happy that he threw it to me. I was like, please throw it to me. Please throw it to me. I knew what I was going to do with the ball, but you feel me? I'm just happy that I can say that all my teammates are with me, he's with me, and the coaches are with me.
That's it. Next man up, right? So I love that response from him. And he is, by the way, he's someone who's he's ready to do this. He's in the perfect situation to do this. You know, he caught that one pass for, what was it, 86 yards or something like that?
87 yards.
Yeah, only caught another two for a couple more yards. But the speed and the talent, obviously, athleticism of him. And I'm just not that worried about a situation with the wide receivers. I think, you know, we're just much better there. And like you heard Coach say, you don't just have a bunch of 300-pound guys that you can throw on the offensive line and make up any of these talented guys like Wallball Jr., who's a seasoned guy. It's just not as easy to fill that. You know, you've got Kalen Ellis and Joe Moore, and we haven't seen either one of them so far this year. And it's just, you know, it puts strain on the offense, obviously, with Garrett Trader. Thank God you have a Garrett Trader in there, first of all. And, you know, that pass that we're talking about to Donovan Brown was, I mean, what Garrett Trader did, it doesn't matter in that play, doesn't matter what team you're playing. That right there is pure talent. I mean, that was amazing. It was amazing jobs. He steps up in the pocket. He steps out of the pocket. He runs out to the sideline. You know, his eyes are down the field the whole time. He's not looking to run out of bounds. He's not looking to run forward. Constantly looking. You heard Donovan Brown's scramble drill, you know, worked out perfectly. Had his hands up. Boom. Went. I mean, they talked about it in that presser. That's what they practice over and over and over again, and you know, to just see it come out like that. And he catches that ball. It was a relatively short pass, and then he just takes it to the house. Just the speed of him, track star, you know, it was an amazing play. And
Went out there lead blocking.
Yeah, he was telling him where to go. He was directing him. He's like, go this way. And he's, you know, he said he was watching LeQuint the whole time because he was telling him where to go. And I mean, that was awesome. It was awesome. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care who you're playing. It's talent. Okay. Now my point is that you got guys like Diamond Brown, you got guys like Isaiah Jones, who are going to step up and fill that role for Gadsden. The offensive line is a different story. And I'm just going to say this, and this is coming from that presser with Garrett Trader. He expects Joe Moore and Kalen Ellis back next week, which would be huge, but you know, he's not, we don't know. I mean, you go off of what Garrett Trader says, or I'm gonna go off my eyes come game day, but just tremendous. I mean, in you know, with the injuries, look, I suppose it's better that this stuff happens early and we kind of get it out of our systems. Wallball Jr., we don't know really what's going on there, but as far as Aronde Gadsden goes, hope he comes back as soon as possible, but not a huge void. Obviously, he's going to be missed, but not a huge void because the depth there.
Right. And, you know, to your point, I mean, I was going to just bring up the fact that, I mean, you look at some of these guys, Donovan Brown, 8 catches for the year. Isaiah Jones, 8 catches for the year, both over 150 yards total so far. Both got a touchdown. There's 7 different receivers that have touchdowns. Amari Hatcher actually leads the team with 9 catches for 188 yards. So you see how it's spread just between the top of them, Amari and Isaiah and Donovan Brown, and that doesn't count even Damian Alford, and I mean Trevor Pena hasn't even played yet, right? On top of the fact that I've kind of been impressed with true freshman Darryl Gill Jr. as well, albeit just 5 catches, but 5 catches for 45 yards and a touchdown, and I didn't even really expect him to see the field.
I mean, he's averaging almost 7 against Western Michigan. 7 to catch.
Right. So, you know, at the end of the day, those guys stepped up. And, you know, the one thing, too, that I've noticed is obviously we know that, I mean, Trader's ability to escape to move side to side, make somebody miss or run past you or past them, or just extend the play. And like you said, hit up the scramble drill, you know, with Donovan Brown. I mean, he's you're right. We're lucky to have that guy with that experience and that poise in those type of situations. And obviously that talent to be able to get it away, to get away. He took some shots yesterday that I don't think that he probably should have taken against the Western Michigan.
Yeah, I agree. One was a touchdown, though.
But yeah, I know. So, and just even then, they've showed, you know, the just, you know, little snips of being able to just get, like yesterday, get the ball out fast, right? If we're going to have an injury, David Wallaba is going to be out there. I mean, he got the ball out fast really quick. And if you can do that, then, you know, that kind of mitigates some type of issues you may have with pass blocking. You know what I mean? So, so far so good. We'll know more next week.
They just, you know, this is a legit question from Edio. They obviously thought that the focus for Western Michigan defensively was going to try to go out there and stop the run. They didn't run the ball that much. I mean, they ended up running the ball because we were trying to kill clock, right? But,
yeah,
you know, LaQuint Allen, 20 yards, but 3 touchdowns. So, you know, short yardage situations on the goal line for him and, you know, just a lot of passing. I mean, why not get LaQuint some more touches during a Western Michigan game? I mean, I get it, but obviously, you know, you start off down by 7. You know, I'm still setting up the live stream for Facebook. We were on the phone.
I wasn't even watching yet.
and Western Michigan goes down, scores a 75-yard touchdown. And at the end of the day, throughout the rest of the game, they only garnered 22 more yards of rushing offense, which is just amazing. I mean, that could have so easily been another shutout that it's not even – I mean, it was right there. It was one play. One play to the house could have been another shutout, but it wasn't. Uh-huh. But I'll say, you heard Coach talk about, well, Garrett, you know, he didn't need to scramble as much. He had good pockets. I don't have a trained eye, and I'm for all of that, okay? But from what I saw, he was under more pressure than I'd like to see against the Western Michigan, which is a little bit of cause of concern for me. And regardless of what Coach says, you know, Garrett does like to get outside the pocket. I think Garrett Schrader's best outside the pocket, regardless. I mean, being on the run is another story, though. And it seemed like a few times, you know, yesterday afternoon, he was actually on the run. Like, he didn't have a choice. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's happened a little bit in both games. But I tell you, I mean, and sometimes that can be dangerous, too, because I think to what Coach Babers is saying is that, you know, he had a read, and he had the pocket to make the throw. You know, but the problem is that maybe it was a 5-yard slant. You know, and the thing with extending a play is that's really where you get the big plays, right?
Yeah,
A play like Donovan Brown in the scramble drill and finding open spots, like that doesn't happen unless you extend the play and you scramble off to one side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. And sometimes extending the play, if you can do it safely, isn't necessarily an awful thing, you know. And like,
plus, you coach doesn't know what Garrett's looking at from his perspective either, and to really know what's going on there, you'd have to go back and watch tape. I mean, judging from the sidelines is kind of, I don't know. He's a coach; he's got a trained eye for it. I'll take his word for it. But I didn't see. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to trust Garrett, the guy with the ball, first. That's making the decisions. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. And maybe he was trying to downplay the fact that he was actually having to like legitimately extend plays. I mean, maybe he's downplaying that a little bit. I mean, but you know, it's a concern for me. It's a concern, and especially with Wallaball Jr. out. Obviously, we'll see what happens next week and go from there. But it just seems to be our Achilles heel is this offensive line. It's been quite some time.
Well, I mean, I still think that we got a decent amount of guys that have played. I mean, Kalen Ellis, Joe Moore. I mean, we had one guy get hurt. We had two guys that can play, you know. And I saw, you know, Petrie out there. And I saw Jacob Bradford's been out for the last 2 weeks. And again, it's not like it's been awful, you know. I mean, we scored 65 points. against Colgate, could have scored more. I mean, we scored 48 yesterday. We called the damn dogs off and just got out of that game. We could have scored more. I understand the competition level, but there's no doubt in my mind that the Garrett Schrader is, I mean, this is probably going to be the best version of Garrett Schrader. Obviously, he's better than what he was when he first came to Syracuse by far, right? Sorry, with the passing and everything, but like, you remember talking in the previous years when I used to bring up stuff about, you know, this is before Garrett was here, right? And I think it was really this Tommy DeVito year, but I used to always talk about the receivers just giving up, that not doing the scramble drill, not trying to, I mean, I remember bringing some of this stuff up. It was just our guys weren't doing it. It was like they'd run their routes, then they wouldn't do anything else, and then DeVito would have to run for his life and make a, hopefully
in,
make.
A DeVito, more of a pocket guy, not built for these types of situations. You know, Garrett Schrader is built for these types of situations. I mean, you have to have a mobile quarterback.
You can just tell the people around you. I mean, at the end of the day, Tommy DeVito is on the Giants practice squad. He went to Illinois last year and had a great season. So I think the team around him was probably a lot worse than we give credit for. I mean, everyone wants to blame the quarterback and DeVito, and I know that he made some bad decisions, but I think he was scared for his life back there. And I really think he was shell-shocked. And so now, yes, Garrett Schrader is definitely, you know, more in a better situation for us as far as being able to get out of the pocket and extend the plays. But I also do think that the talent around him on the offense is better, too, I guess is my point. Is that I've seen it. Like, we're far – our line, maybe not – I don't want to say maybe not our line, but our receivers and our special players are far and away deeper than they have been in quite some time.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's going to wrap that up unless you got anything else.
I mean, I think the only thing really when you look so I try to pay attention to the second half, and I know that it's hard to watch. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there, you know, if you're listening, that probably turned it off. I know that my buddy Sabo, I think, turned it off at some point in the second half. You know, you mentioned how it was just a lot of runs and we were trying to run the clock and get out of there, and then it was kind of boring, you know. I mean, there was only 3 points scored in the whole second half, so I get it. Watching that second team defense come in, and I've watched it 2 weeks in a row now, and I'm wondering where. Well, I mean, not only is it shut. I mean, not only is the fact that we just throw out there that our defense has got more points than our opposing offenses have scored against them, and so we can throw that out there because they have 2 defensive touchdowns, 2 pick sixes, which is a great return. The last play of the first half yesterday by Simmons Jr. But
oh yeah, absolutely.
So we got 2 pick sixes in a row.
Derek McDonald, another animal out there too.
Dude, we got some. Yeah. You remember that late transfer, Miles Farmer?
Yes.
Who's second leading tackler for Nebraska? But he transferred late in the summer, right?
Six and five solos yesterday.
Yeah, so 6 tackles, 5 of them for solos. He has a half of a tackle for loss. I watched him. He didn't come in against Colgate until I think he was like third string or late second string. And then yesterday he was in there with the second stringers. He was getting more time, and he ended up with he was all over the field making plays in the second. And I know second half they had like their second or third different quarterback in there, which the third one might have been obviously the best looking one. But he was all over the place, and I feel like it's only a matter of time before he's going to be breaking the – I don't know if he's going to start, but he's going to be in there.
Yeah, good backup, relief, you know, just fresh legs, all of that.
I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, he joined late, so he had to learn the defense, right? And it's like every week you see him getting more playing time and moving up in the depth chart. And yesterday, like I said, he was all over the place, so – That was another thing that I just wanted to throw out there that I noticed yesterday in the second half, albeit trying. Very hard to concentrate when it's that type of second half game, for sure.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Now it's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, you guys know what to do at the end of every show, or at the end of every game, rather. I ask for your thoughts on said game, and we talk about them here. So, you know, I know that it is a little bit trying sometimes to get some good feedback on games like this, because there's a lot of things kind of still in the air. We're trying to figure ourselves out. We're not really sure what our opponents are really made of yet, but with that said, it wasn't terrible. So pat yourselves on the back, and let's go. Let's start right with at Baptized by Fire 7, who's out here on Twitter Spaces X, whatever, Twitter X Spaces, and these are my sentiments as well. Dominic, are we good? Were they terrible? I can't tell, but hey, this scoring thing, this scoring all these points is really fun to watch. Wild Heck better be on the phone with donors ready to give Coach Beck a raise. Well, I mean, it's a possibility. So, are we good? Were they terrible? Yes. Yes, I don't think they're great, and I think we're good. I think we're good. I do. I think Syracuse is got a good squad, and you know, they're going to be tested. We need 4 wins to a bowl game. That's not exactly where I'd like to end my, you know, my expectations with a 6-6 season. I got them at 7-5. I think there's a lot of struggles right now, as we saw and we talked about at the beginning of the show with the ACC in general. I think everybody's still trying to find the rhythm, to say the least, other than Florida State. Okay, I mean, they're balling. They're in a whole nother league, I feel like, right now. But anyway, at Oil Cuse, our buddy Captain Patrick, he said, I was scared after the second play, in all honesty. I'm concerned about the injuries to David Wallabaugh and OG. Adams fumbles too much. Western Michigan is a dirty team. Joe likes hot dogs with ketchup. That Heinz commercial was terrible. Donovan Brown has the potential to be a Hall of Famer. By the way, in all fairness, Captain Patrick loves some Donovan Brown, and he's been on that bandwagon. He might have jumped in the driver's seat of that bandwagon before I think anyone else did. And Captain Pat, obviously, with the eye for talent, because I think he's going to be special player. And I love his attitude. You feel me? You feel me?
Feel you, man. And look, I mean, shit.
Yeah, in the presser. Hey, anybody who drops
Amari
that.
Hatcher, we've been talking about Amari Hatcher, too. You know, and those two right now, on top of, you know, what Isaiah Jones obviously is showing us, what we missed last year from him. So, yeah, I mean, we still got guys. And obviously, Alford is a captain for a reason. And Trevor Payne, yeah, it's been a problem in the past. And I know Jamarcus Adams has stepped up pretty good for him, especially with the returning aspect. But I think Trevor's kind of can't wait to get him back there, because to his point, Adam scares me out there, because he does hold that damn ball sometimes like a loaf of bread. So he's already fumbled, I believe.
3? It's at least twice, yeah. Yeah. So, but, I mean, yeah. Look, he fumbled yesterday. We got it, but he didn't lose it. But anyways, I think Trevor back is going to be big, but I'm a little worried about that one. That one's so hush-hush that I just... It's, when they leave you in the dark like that, you can't help but speculate. You know, like, how bad is it?
They always leave us in the dark. Remember, it's always a lower body or upper body, you know? So.
Yeah, but we, you know, he kind of was pretty straightforward with us about Wallabaugh Jr., so I figured, I mean, I don't know. That was a little different feel in that presser yesterday when he came. I wasn't expecting him to come out with that right away. He usually says, you know, hey, you know, we need to wait and see what happens within the week, so... At David7W, I had to watch the replay on TV again, but overall I'm pleased, of course. Not sure what's going on with the penalties, and Schrader made a couple odd decisions. I'm worried about Aronde, but this game was super exciting. I mean, the one thing Schrader, I mean, I can always say I think Schrader needs to slide more. I think when you're
the one where he actually scored the touchdown on, lowering the shoulder. I mean, it's ballsy. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that all year, but you're right at the goal line. I mean, that's grit and determination, and you want that in your quarterback. So I'm not going to bag on him at all for that. But there was a couple of them, you know, on the field where he could have, would have, should have probably slid just to save himself unnecessary hits from a Western Michigan show, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
But the penalties, I mean, I think there was four in the first half, I think, on Syracuse.
And then nine total.
Yeah, and then five in the second half. But you've got a lot of new guys out there, and we heard Coach talk about that in the montage, and it's difficult to say really what we got as far as the penalties go. And I'm throwing Syracuse a bone here because I'm going to chalk it up to some of the newer bodies on the field. And like we said last week, four of the penalties last week were in the first like 7 minutes of the game or something like that. And they really calmed down after that. So chalk that one up to nerves, chalk it up to, you know, some younger guys on the field. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to pass a judgment call on that until we get into full swing and we'll see. And the procedural stuff is just, it's so fixable that it's not even funny. You know what I mean? That's what we're seeing. So.
Yeah. And if you look at it, nine penalties for 72 yards. So, you know, all in all, you're talking about less than, you know, what you're talking about, like an 8 yard average per penalty. So, it's not awful. You don't have a bunch of egregious ones. It's just a lot of
if false they were starts, PIs,
5 yard yeah. stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
holding.
You know, and that goes to Thomas Frey's comment on Facebook. All the talent Bleich has is negated by all the penalties he gets. Dude is a walking false start. I am still not convinced CDW is a legit quarterback. He was throwing off his back foot, even when he didn't have to. Defense is legit. Rocky is more willing to take chances than it shows. Denneberg will be kicking on Sundays.
I agree. And what about Stonehouse? Not bad.
I think that our special teams so far this year have been great compared to, I mean, last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like Denneberg's, I mean, he's made every kick. Almost every kickoff, he's gone almost out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't look like
the
kickoff returns is really going to be an issue. Well, in the dome so far, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it looks like Stonehouse has been fine. He hasn't really had to be in a pressure situation. He only had one punt.
Two punts, I think. One punt at Colgate and then one yesterday?
He had more. He did have a bunch yesterday.
That's right.
But he had four.
Yeah, it was one, though, during the Colgate game, if I remember right.
So he had four for 184 for an average of 46-yard punt.
That's NFL material right there. Yeah, absolutely. That was a stud. They're both studs. And they came on the scene, you know, out of nowhere. Denneberg capped him. Isn't he one of the six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the six.
Yeah.
He's a special teams captain alongside Justin Barron. So, I mean, and then if you throw out there our returns, too, you know, I mean, we have as much as, I mean, DeMarcus Adams has fumbled. I don't know if he's lost one yet, but he has gotten some decent yards as far as his returns, and he wasn't even really supposed to be the starting returner because Trevor Pena. So, like I said, I'm excited to see him back there. I honestly think that if Trevor Pena, and this is nothing against DeMarcus Adams, but I feel like if Trevor Pena had been healthy and started from the beginning of the year, I think he already would have returned some type of return. I think there was been some opportunities that I think Trevor Pena probably would have been able to take to the house. But overall, you got to be happy with your special team so far. And obviously, we don't know how good Colgate and Western Michigan is. We've talked about that. But you got to be happy with your defense, too. I mean, especially considering that we've scored more points. Our defense has scored more points than his offenses have scored upon them. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to correct.
And offense, really. I mean,
yeah, well, the offense is just like I said, my only criticism, I would have liked to see LeQuint carry the ball a little bit more, but three touchdowns and 20 yards, I mean, I can't complain.
They might not just be great teams, but we're nitpicking penalties.
Well, we're also working off of Colgate in Western Michigan, and it's really difficult to sit here and give honest analysis, so you stick with the things that maybe concern you, because pretty soon those little things could be big things, and when you talk about procedural penalties and things like that, that's where you put yourself in a bad spot. Just a correction on DeMarcus Adams. He's got only one fumble this year, by the way. And he did not he did not lose it. So and that was in the Western Michigan game. So anyway. Let's see. I got just one more, I think. At Martin Bale, one, two games in, two major injuries. We're on our normal pace of one major injury per game. Hopefully we have enough depth at right wide receiver and O-line to overcome. We don't have the depth at O-line, and unfortunately. Wide receiver, I mean, it does not concern me. Like I said earlier in the show, it does not concern me that much. You got hungry dogs out there that are willing to step up and are ready to step up. This Donovan Brown, that's Captain Pat's favorite guy right there. That's his guy. He's a dog. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. I got you. But look, I think there's one thing that I probably would, and I don't want to kill the guy on him, but let's just throw this out here, right?
Okay.
We saw some awful, awful, awful officiating. You know, yesterday.
Well, I think that there was a sequence there that was really bad. I don't know if it was awful officiating. I feel like there was a lot of penalties, but there was a lot of penalties because a lot of people were doing things to garner penalties.
Jake Maley on Facebook said, worst officiating crew ever. At one point, I think they were calling balls and strikes. So, but also yesterday, I saw probably the easiest dropped touchdown.
Yeah, on the first
that
drive
I've ever seen.
On the you're talking about the first drive of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I'm not gonna get at him because again, we didn't need it. But Damien Alford, named captain,
got to pull that one.
You
in.
Know, you. I mean, that's the easiest touchdown you're ever gonna drop.
Yeah, it's too bad. And Garrett was asked about that in his presser and. You know, he was like he didn't remember what the hell happened in that sequence of events. But there was a couple of the second and third down were, you know, unfortunate. But you know, shake that stuff off. It's still early. Shake that stuff off, and we move forward, right? I mean, Purdue's no slouch. Okay, there's the slate ahead is going to be it's going to be tough. I mean, we're not real sure about what's going on with the ACC, like we said. And Dominic in Twitter Spaces, he posted that we're favored right now to beat every team in the ACC except for Florida State, and UNC is a toss up. And so he's got a graphic up right now. And I mean, if you know, it's unfortunate I would rather play Clemson next week than Purdue. I will take Clemson next week for 500, Alex. Huh? Why not?
Why?
Why not? I mean, because they're not playing great football. They seem to be in their own heads. And look, they ended up destroying them yesterday. I know. And all that's fine and well. But they just don't look like a cohesive unit. And the longer they play together, the better I think that their odds of playing like a cohesive unit are. And I just feel like get them while they're scrambling, because I feel like they're kind of scrambling a little bit. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Florida State's
Florida State's going to be tough for everybody that they play this year. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, Clemson's not the Clemson that we remember the past, you know, however many years, right? But it's still Clemson, you know, and sadly, like, whether it's in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, next week, I mean, I think that they have the personnel to keep it vanilla and line up and just, I mean, I think, you know, they're just used to doing everything. And part of the problem that I think they've been having is that, I mean, they've just been trying to do certain things that they're just not great at right now. But their defense is still good. They still got good running backs. You know, Cade Klubnik, he can run with the best of them. You know, he's fast as well. So, at the end of the day, they're just going to be difficult just lining up with their defense. And if they line up with their offensive line against our defensive line and just run the crap down our throats, like, it's still going to be a tough game. So, either way, you know, that's why they started blowing them away yesterday. Their defense stepped up, and they were just running the ball, and they were running down their throats. So Clemson's going to be all right. It's just not the Clemson, you know, Deshaun Watson Clemson, and some of these other Trevor Lawrence, you know, of the past that we remember.
Yeah. All right, what else you got on Facebook, Joe?
Coach Jeff, hopefully we aren't too banged up. We need better quarterback to receiver timing, which I think is okay. I think it's good, but it can be better. And he says O-line needs a lot of work.
Yeah, like I mentioned, I think that from my comfort, I feel like Schrader's scrambling a little bit more than he has to with the last two opponents. That's only going to get tougher. And thank God we got a Schrader back there that can do just that, keep his eyes downfield and make the plays. But, I mean, if I'm gauging it off of what I've seen so far this year against the opponents we've had, that's definitely a concern.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Got Ryan Foe. My observations. One, God, please let Gadsden be okay. Let us have a nice thing. Two, Schrader is clearly the man to lead this offense, but he must freaking slide.
Yeah, I'm with this guy so far. Yeah.
And three, CDW is not even close to where he needs to be. Wish we could see how Lampson compares.
Yeah.
I mean, we did see that, though, right? Spring game? I mean, yeah. Isn't that why Lampson ultimately transferred?
Took off, yeah. I think so. And unfortunately, I kind of agree. I mean, see, Del Rio Wilson didn't have – it wasn't a terrible showing against Colgate. But again, I mean, you know, I know the old trite is just Colgate. But still, it wasn't terrible. But this time, yeah, he's in 5-for-9 for 57 yards. I don't know. I'm not going to bag on him too hard for that. We'll just see.
I think, Western Michigan was sending it. He didn't really have a lot of time. You know, he did take some chances, but, you know, at the same time, I enjoy his energy out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw him, you know, he hands the ball off and then comes up behind him and pushes him, right? I mean, he runs and tries to lead block and do things like that. So, I mean, the attitude, the way he plays, the fire that he plays with being out there, you know, he's out there really, really trying even when he knows the game is over, right? And
yeah, and to be fair, he's not, you know, they're putting second, third stringers out there during that time. I'm not sure what kind of gauge you can give him on that, just to be fair. I mean, I'm throwing the guy a bone, I know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, a majority of the starting line played the whole game because they're still trying to work on their cohesiveness and stuff like that. So, and they did keep some wide receivers out there.
They kept him, a couple of them out there in the beginning for sure. Yeah.
You know, but it was a lot of handing off, and then there was some, you know, obviously some unfortunate false starts and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. As a second string quarterback that comes in, you just got to, you know, finish the job, not make mistakes, you know, just because we didn't go down and score a bunch of points this time. Right. Yeah, and he did. So, and on top of that, I mean, realistically, I mean, we were in a position, 2 years ago? I mean, pre-DeVito Dungy.
This is three or 4 years ago now.
Yeah, something like that, right? Where, I mean, Luke McPhail, our fourth string, you know, guy who, I don't know if he's on scholarship or not, but, you know, we'd be trotting him out there as the second stringer, you know, when our first stringer was done or got hurt. So the depth is there. The gap between, you know, Schrader and CDW might be big because of, you know, obviously Schrader being in the league for 5 years and just ready to go and have a great year. But, I mean, we really aren't going to or shouldn't have to rely on him until next year. So, and I think probably the last one that I'd go with is Matt Cartier on Facebook. The victory over Watertown High School was a momentum builder.
Yeah, there's always that one.
So guy. Again, there's yeah. always yeah. Just we can only play the guys and the teams that are, you know, on our schedule that are put in front of us, right?
Yeah, it's just that, and you know, the crowd. I'm not even gonna bag too hard on the crowd. You know, there's a whole thread on Twitter. We could do a whole episode about it. I reposted something from our buddy Tony at Cuse Waterboy. And, you know, there's a criticism there to be had, but, you know, the people get so defensive about it. Like, you've got what else is there to do in Syracuse right now? $5 tickets. I mean, let's go, you know? And I heard, well, around the league, it's the same problem. Todd. It's not. I watched football. I watched it all day yesterday. I did not see it. It's not well, like I mean, that.
I saw it in specific games, right? But, I mean, I saw it at Boston College Holy Cross.
I mean, come on. Boston College sucks.
I get it.
No one wants to go to a Boston College game. The players probably don't even want to go to a Boston College game. Todd!
I mean, at the end of the day, look, we understand that, you know, the price of living and all that stuff has gone up. You know, and there are probably some stadiums out there that's prices are probably still overpriced and everything.
Well, look,
like that,
I'm trying
right?
to go to UNC. I need a freaking game time too, by the way. Before
no, we need a game time.
I need the game time.
We are gonna have to figure out tickets.
Well, I mean, figuring out tickets is just gonna be what I mean. Look, I'm kind of bougie-ish. I don't want to be breaking out the binoculars and whatnot, but you know, I'm looking at. There's some decent seats for $60-something dollars, but it's not $60-something dollars. There's a $27 fee tacked on to every ticket you buy. It's like, just give me the freaking price, man. Just tell me what the price is. Add the fees in. Don't give me this shit where you tell me, oh, well, this ticket's $50. Well, no, it's not. The ticket's like almost $80. After everything's said and done, like, I can figure out tax. I got it. But can we... you know, be honest about ticket prices for crying out loud. I think it's dumb. I think it's really dumb. All right. Let's see. We got you, Cuse Waterboy. Is that a no?
Hey, can you hear me, boys?
There we go. Yep. You're on.
Hey, sorry. I'll try to make this quick, and the daughter's going crazy in the background. She's amped up because football's back, baby. Watch some Red Zone. Let's go, little one.
Let's go. Raise them right. So yeah, you had her at the game last week, right?
Yes, last week. Not yesterday, yeah, but no, last week. Right, yeah. So yeah. All the people whining about, oh, the parking sucks. I carried a 28-pound kid with a 15-pound diaper bag on my back, and I park far away for free because I'm cheap as hell. So, wham, about your excuses. If you're too fat and lazy, that's a you problem and a bigger problem with America. Sorry, hashtag heel water boy.
Hey, look, I'm with you. I'm not going to throw a ton of criticism down yet because you already know.
I will.
I know you will.
All your venom. Throw all your stones, all your arrows at me. I'll take them. My back is massive. My traps are huge. I can take it. And if you don't like it, you know what I look like. You can find me on the quad. You can find me on the dome. I'm not a hard person to find. Bring your venom to me.
And, you know, I'm just a cynical prick. That's me. I'm a cynic.
I'm flat out prick.
Let's go. I try to give the benefit of the doubt here early, but I'm telling you, for a team like this, in a school like Syracuse, I find it a little bit concerning. And I saw all the free T-shirts that they were giving out to the student section, and I'm not even sure they all showed up.
There was a good amount of them, and they're you know, I was arguing with someone on Twitter because they were whining about the students not showing up, and I'm like, well, their allotment for the season, their season tickets are completely sold out, and that's on the dome that they won't allow open up more sections for them, but their allotment is sold out. Whether or not they show up, that's a different story, but if they bought the tickets, I'm reserving my venom for the fair weather casual fans, which there's 460,000 residents in our county. There's 200,000 to 300,000 more residents an hour or two drive within the county, or you know, the surrounding counties. And tickets at the end of the day were $7 plus fees for my nosebleeds, $44 for 10th row on the visitor sideline, 30-yard line. I even talked to Dominic because I'm like, hey, what's East Carolina like down where you are? Same nosebleeds for East Carolina versus Marshall, similar to the dome, went for $25 plus fees.
That's about, you know, the equivalent to my Monarchs, who are 15 minutes from me, you know, $25.
Wait.
What do you want
to just say? My Monarchs?
I mean, they're our local team here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
No, they're not my Monarchs.
I mean, it's just like,
you can't help but to root a tiny bit for a team that's close to you because they've entered into D1 now. They beat Virginia Tech last year. I mean, that's fun.
That'd be like me cheering for NC State, though. I can't do that.
Well, that's different.
Right? So
that's different.
That's the whole thing. I think that a lot of this, too, this fan talk and this stuff, I think some of it gets, you know, because I see the comments and these people are like, oh, well, you know, we live out of state. Well, obviously, I mean, if you live out of state, right, then this comment isn't for you, right? I mean,
well, that's isn't that baked in? Todd,
if you're too dumb to understand that and not use common sense and you're eating paint chips as a child, that's a you problem. Like, right. I'm so sick of the whataboutism. Well, I'm a quadriplegic and I'm only a head floating in a tub of water. I can't make it to the dome.
Get someone to carry you. Do you live in Syracuse? Get someone to carry you.
I'll
carry you gladly.
Those comments go towards the students either, because I mean, I kind of want to give this, especially football wise, the students have kind of been showing out the past couple of years. So
yeah,
they've been getting better. So there's really only, I mean, we're talking local guys. We're talking local
people. We're talking. Look, Syracuse relies the dome. Okay, getting the dome packed. It's you don't rely on the students. You rely on the community, and the community is, you know, they're finicky as hell, man. I grew up with them, you know. I know them. Joe knows them. I know how they can be, and that's kind of where because I know so many of them. That's where my negativity about it comes from, is because it's like they so take it for granted. Because now that I'm moved away, and I have to watch every game on TV. And Joe, you know, it sucks. You know, that's why I started going, you know, Syracuse is it's 8 hours for me. And I mean, I can go to 3 games in North Carolina that are 3 to 3.5 hours away. And Blacksburg's 5.5 hours away. And so that's why we started going to away games. It's just quicker and easier for us. But, you know, we used to make a trip down to the Dome, but it's impossible for anybody who's out of town to get to more than one game some years, you know, with the family and everything. And I mean, I wish I lived home to be able to take a $5 ticket. Come on, man. I mean, there's no reason to not go to that.
But you boys are the exception. You're not the rule. There's so many people to pull from locally, and just compare it to other teams in the area. Syracuse Crunch, cheapest ticket is $18 to $20. It goes up $2 on game day. The Syracuse M-Words, the baseball team, cheapest ticket is $13. Goes up $1 if you order it online. Like, a $7 ticket including fees.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking here? I'm not asking you to break the bank. In the age of inflation, where the price of everything is skyrocketing, go to the gas station, go to the grocery store, go to your local department store, everything is more expensive. The price of these have actually gone down for a product where it's a high-scoring team and it's fun to watch. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what these people want. And, you know, I'm not expecting diehards. I'm not expecting people to go to every game. But if you have such a negative opinion about the school and you can't buy a $7 ticket, tape your mouth shut, log off social media, and shut the hell up. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I like watching it. And there's a huge thread, and I haven't gotten through the thread, Tony, but there's it's gotten a lot of responses. When it was your tweet, I quote tweeted, just asking for thoughts. And I expected a couple, maybe if we needed to use it as backup for the fan feedback, we would, but there's so many that it's just it's its own conversation. And I know Todd is in there.
Todd.
So
no, his name is Ted. Ted.
Why do you do that?
I do it just to blatantly be disrespectful. If I can't stand you or don't like you, I'll call you the wrong name.
I do it
to be an a-hole purposely.
There is like I don't block anybody on Twitter because it's people like Todd that make it fun for me, okay?
Yep.
Because he is... How does this guy see our tweets? Does he... He must troll the page because he doesn't follow us. But
yeah, I'm sure he has alerts. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, you need to be on social media 24-7, like, followers, like, matter. But when you have 2 followers and you have, like, 3,000 tweets, that shows that your opinion sucks so badly and you suck as a person because nobody wants to hear what you have to say.
No, Todd.
Hey, but do you think that this whole thing stemmed all the way back to, like, Robinson? When people were watching overpriced tickets to watch us lose to Akron?
Yeah, I think people are burnt out on it. But, like, at a certain point, like, you also have to support the program. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be like, okay, when they start beating real teams and start having a winning record or they get ranked, I'll start going to games. Well, guess what? When that happens, that $7 seat for Western Michigan in the nosebleeds for Clemson now turned into an $80 to $120 ticket. Are you going then? Like, you got what you wanted, but now are you going to shell out way more than you know, the original ticket price? I highly doubt it.
Ed,
so you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't do both, one way or the other. Pick a lane.
Hey, look, there's some people that can argue that chicken. That I mean, some people argue that, like, what came first, chicken or the egg?
Yeah, and I get that. And
well, we've talked about that.
Walter mentioned that.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that as far as recruiting goes, right? Like, what comes first, the recruits or the asses in the seats? And, you know, it's a tough one. You can make a really good argument for both, right? But I mean, you have the team. You have the team.
And I just look at it too. Like, you have players like Justin Barron and his father, you know, players and coaches' parents saying, like, hey, pack the dome, come out and support these kids.
They're
and
like, it's like pleading.
Yeah, yeah. You think parents, like, when a new recruit comes in or a freshman comes in, the parents don't sit in the same section and talk to each other and this doesn't spread? Like, hey, what's this fan base like? What's this community like? How do they support the program? Everybody sees it on social media. Recruits see all this stuff, too. Like, the algorithm shoots it to them. Like, if we're trashing kids, if we're not showing up, if we're being negative, like, why would more kids want to come here? And I know, like, fans showing up to the dome isn't the only thing, but it's definitely a factor.
Well,
like,
it's
understand
the,
that.
It's the things that are said outside of just showing up, right? I mean, it's not just, like you said, it's some of the social media aspect and the criticisms and things like that. But, I mean, look, I will reserve until we move forward and we get into some more serious competition. But I think a $5 ticket to go watch the team, it's like watching a Harlem Globetrotters game, right? You know, you pay money for that because you know the Harlem Globetrotters are going to go out there, they're going to put on a show, they're going to score some points, they're going to razzle-dazzle, and it's going to be fun, right? Well, that's what Syracuse has done the past two games. And you'd rather sit home and watch it on TV. And I guess I'm just jealous of the fact that there are people who do get to go to these games for $5 while it's impossible for me to do so. And
yeah.
Right? I mean,
we do our part on the road, right? Because, I mean, that's kind of what you ask for, right? I mean, we're lucky if we can go to two games on the road a year.
Right.
You know, which is why it stinks. Because, I mean, when I was up in New York, in Syracuse, you know, I was going to every single game. You know, it was just, I felt like I had to do my part, right, because it was cheap enough. But I guess to play devil's advocate here, I mean, is there some type of – what is the university doing to put butts in the seats? Like, not to be – but, like, if you're willing to go down to $7 a ticket – well, yes, I get that. But if you're willing to go down to $7 and you still can't get butts in the seat, I mean, then at some point, I mean, when are you going to create some type of programs or – I mean, is this something that NIL and collectives can go ahead and we can actually start putting, you know, certain things to maybe be able to get some, you know, like, lower income families in the fucking in the seats, you know, like get butts in the seats. You know, I mean, what can we do? What can the university do? What can people with the money that can do? I mean, yes. Are there going to be is there people that have the money to do it and they're just too lazy or whatever, stubborn to go? Sure. But, I mean, how many situations, I mean, I'm sure there's situations, especially up in New York, like that there's probably some people that can't afford it. So what is the school and collectives and stuff like that doing to put butts in the seats? Because ultimately it's going to help. And if you can get it all the way down to $7, then you can't tell me you can't eat a block of those seats, you know, 20, 30 of those and give them away and get some butts in the seats to try to grow that community and actually – get the community around it. I mean, I feel like there's things that can be done that haven't been done yet. And then maybe I'm just naive and they have been done and I don't know. And maybe you can speak more to it. But to me, there's other areas that could help that situation.
All right. We're going to add Matt in here. If he's still there, add him to the conversation real quick before we sign off, since he requests to speak. Matt, go ahead and unmute yourself if you can. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Hey, I just wanted to hop on real quick. I live in Dallas. I'm super excited about the SMU announcement. They're joining the ACC.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's in 2025, so maybe not next year.
No, it's next year, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's next year.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to hop on. I didn't catch much of the game, but haven't been to a bowl in a few years. This is definitely the year. Hoping to come up there, I think, for the Boston College game. So, yeah, if all these fans are bitching about the fees and shit, I mean, if I'm willing to spend $300-$400 on a round-trip ticket to come up there, we should be able to pack that fucking dome.
I love it.
But hey, y'all have a good day. Enjoy the NFL. Just thanks for letting me hop on.
Hey, Matt. Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Don't be a stranger.
Yes, sir.
You too. Well, I mean, look, he just said in 30 seconds? what we could have just said without beating around the bush. I mean, that's pretty much it, right, Tony? I mean,
yeah. My biggest thing too is, so the $7 tickets, that's on Vivid Seats. That's a secondary site. You'll pay way more on Ticketmaster or buying the tickets directly through Syracuse because they use Ticketmaster, because those fees are just outrageous. But I advertise this a ton. I you know, retweet out people who are like, hey, I have season tickets. I can't go. I got four free tickets. Who wants them? Nobody takes them up on it. And I'm like, dude, at this point, they're free, some of these. And also the same people complaining about the cost of stuff, they go to the New York State Fair, which, yes, is way more expensive, and complain about that, but they still go. They still pay for cable, and now they're complaining about Spectrum booting ESPN off, and they can't watch the Syracuse game. Like, if you pay, what is it, $160 a month now for cable, you can't afford a $7 ticket and maybe $10 of parking to go to the game and even buy some nachos and drinks. That's way less than your cable bill.
YouTube TV, like, is the way out of that deal, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, like, you pick your battles, man. Like, again, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't complain about this and then do the opposite in the other, you know, on the other realm of it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I hear you. Well, we'll
negative for the sake of being negative.
I try not to be negative. I'm a cynical prick, like I said, but I try not to delve into the negative, which is why I try to give the benefit of the doubt. So we're going to see, Tony. And
I gave them the benefit of the doubt for years when I was running around doing the water boy thing on the sideline and trying to bring positivity. Full-on Waterboy heel turn. I don't care. Jump in my mentions. I don't follow you. I'm cursing you out. I'll challenge you. I'm on the quad. I don't care. Like, enough of the nice guy stuff. People in this country need a swift kick in the ass. I'm sorry.
It's gotten soft. Just like Todd. Yep.
Yeah, like Ted over there. Ted.
Okay. All right. Well, look, Tony, thanks for everything you had. We love having you in the spaces. We appreciate it. And that's next level shit. I didn't plan on getting that deep.
Don't touch the soap, sweetie.
Don't touch the soap. Don't eat it. Don't put it in your mouth.
Do you want to talk to the people? Say hi, boys. She said Papa.
That's good enough. I'll take it.
Yeah, that works.
Good start.
Yep.
All right, Tony. Enjoy that, buddy. You take care. Boys. Don't be a stranger.
Boys, as always. Thanks for having me on.
All right, brother.
Have a good one, guys.
Later. All right. Well, hey, look, man.
Aren't you going to tell Captain Patrick what a monarch is?
It's a lion.
It's a lion?
It's a lion, right? Well, a monarch is the English, you know, it's the monarchs. It's the English version of king, queen, and that whole thing, right? And the symbol is the lion, right? That's it. So,
man, what do you mean? It's a butterfly.
Oh boy, here we go. I mean, look, you guys can say whatever you want. I don't care. I really don't care. But I do know Wake Forest comes to ODU this year. I'm thinking about going to that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, I wish.
You're gonna go cheer on your Monarchs?
No, I'm gonna cheer against Wake Forest. That's, I mean, plain and simple. I mean, dude, I could probably get a ticket for $10. Well, actually, I have one free ticket to that game. I have one free ticket to that game because my buddy's a season ticket holder. So,
I think DC's ripping off on you, man.
DC.
You live too close to DC, man.
Oh, dude, don't go there with me.
Now you're talking about monarchs.
No, don't, please don't. You know how to rile me up. You start talking about DC rubbing off on me. It's a good way to really piss me off really quick. So, it's all bullshit. You're
sorry,
hilarious.
I wanted to get you fired up.
Yeah, right at the end of the show, an hour and 20 minutes in. Look, Tony and Matt, those are the reasons why we go to Twitter X. I hope we can get this thing figured out on a regular basis and make sure that it runs as smooth as it did today. I appreciate all of you for joining us in the Twitter X spaces. And look, yes, we got a little bit of research to do for Purdue, and we will bring that to you. Right? That was good, right?
Yeah, of course.
We'll bring that to you maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, something like that. Till then, for Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.